It's crazy. It's a year since I was here, and it's just gone like a blur. And I've been in ministry 42 years, and thank God I have the strength of a 20-year-old. I'm like, word, let alone one verse. One word is packed with infinite wisdom and knowledge, and the operations and the revelations of God is just an amazing thing. But what is very pleasing is today I'm releasing a book called Bold. And where's Kathy? Is Kathy still here? There she is. She's my first purchaser of this book in the United States of America. I did release it in South Africa a few days ago, but I never handled my book. It was done before I got there, and you'll find in the dedication, I dedicated this to Faith Broadcast Network. I always go there twice a year and preach right across Africa and Europe and represent them, and I help raise the $30 million that we need every year for that operation to take the gospel. And those who know me know I'm not a great fan of Christian television. I think some of it has been so perverted and abusive, you know. And it's but Faith Broadcast, they pure, man. You know, they just there's we do, you know, what we call Faith Connect, where people raise, you know, pledge to support it for the year, but we casting out demons and healing the sick, and the power of God is falling. We hardly even mention money because people are buying into a vision, not into an appeal, you know. But I wrote this book and dedicated it to Faith Broadcast Network because Andre is the boldest man I know. I've known Andre since he was a kid. I helped launch Christian television in Africa. I was part of the foundation of the first studio. I was just 23 at the time, but I really believed that technology belonged to the church, not to the devil. I believed that communication, faith comes by hearing. And if the world gets the attention of people, then that's what they're going to believe. And the church should get the attention of society with the gospel. And I always felt that, and I pushed for that, for radio, television. That's why even social media is a very dangerous thing, but it's a great tool for the Christian church. So anyway, Andre, we've just busy building a studio that seats 14,000 people. It takes up a city block. Because we're going for souls. Not for popularity, for souls. Just an amazing thing. We call it the dome. You can see it anywhere in the city. It's the biggest building in the city. And so I dedicated this book to Andre and to Faith Broadcast Network because of his bold faith. But I felt like the church has been intimidated. And I love what our brother shared this morning, fight. Because there is a warfare, there is a battle that is raging. And we need people to be bold in the Lord. And this book speaks about our bold approach to God, bold faith, bold leadership, bold in spiritual warfare, bold in the Spirit, in the power of God, bold in the face of opposition, persecution, and resistance. And so I'm so pleased to release this book in America, in a church that I love so much. And so it will be available together with Well Done and Capture. And I'll go into the foyer after the meeting if you want to have me sign the book. I don't think it means that much, but people like it. And I'll gladly sign it. I'm like so not into public thing, you know. I'm amazed that God even uses me because I'm actually a behind-the-scenes person. I don't really like signing books and photographs and stuff. And I'm so shy, and people think, oh, you're so bold in the Word. But I'm not really into that stuff. But people like it, and I'll gladly go do it. I'll stretch myself. I'll be bold. talking about boldness, I want to get into the Word of God. I've got about 20 minutes with you in the Word, and I want to speak about bold faith today. How many of you know that there is a battle raging against your marriage, against your health, against your wealth, against your kids, against this nation because of our heritage, because of the call of God upon this nation? This nation was forged by the settlers that came here who were escaping persecution. They wanted a freedom to worship God. Amen. Not just freedom of religion, they actually wanted a freedom to worship Jesus, to recognize Jesus, the gospel. And of course, this is a great nation. I'm glad you're so convinced about that. I'm an African American. I've embraced this nation as my nation, even though I love Africa so much. I love the United States of America. When God called me to come here, I never wanted to come to this nation because I thought it's like the Mecca of Christianity, of the gospel. Everything that has happened in Africa in terms of the gospel, teaching Bible schools, has emanated from this great nation. The generosity, the intercession of the saints. So I saw no value in coming to such a great nation. I just thought that I should stay in Africa where it is so dark and so hard and where no one wants to go. And in fact, all I ever wanted to do was to be a village preacher. I never even wanted to have a global ministry. I wanted to have a village ministry. I wanted to just work in a little village and see people saved and filled and church planted and kids looked after. But God called me here, spoke to me in a very tangible way. And I obeyed and I came and I saw that this nation is under attack. When I landed in Miami, I could, and I'm not one given to darkness and the spiritual world. In fact, people say, wow, do you feel how dark it is? And I'm thinking, well, this is awesome. This is... But when I got to Miami, I could feel the forces of darkness in this nation. And I realized that the devil wants to silence the church. Because what happens in America today affects the world tomorrow. Economically, financially, in military power, but beyond that, in the gospel, in the spirit. If something happens spiritually in America, I'm telling you, the spirit of greatness is in this nation. And what happens spiritually here will touch the world tomorrow. There are things that are happening in India and in Pakistan and in Africa that are incredible. There are some mighty men and women of God. The world doesn't know them. But when a man or a woman emerges in America, it will affect the world. If there's a move of God in India, no one will go over to India. But I'm telling you, when there's a move of God in America, the world comes to this nation to get what God's doing. Amen. And because of that, the devil wants to silence the church. He wants to intimidate us. He wants us to lose our voice, our power, our authority. When you are called by God, you're a mighty man or woman of God. You carry the authority of the name of Jesus in your life. You can cast out demons and heal the sick. The youngest of you, one that is saved 1 hour, has more authority than you would ever believe. You could say to the gates of hell, be moved, and they have to back off. That's right. And you're just brand new. You don't even know who you are. But the name of Jesus in your mouth from a believing heart is strong enough. When you resist the devil, he has to flee from you. And that's for someone saved 1 hour. When you've been saved 10, 15, 20, 30 years and you know who you are and you know the Word of God, you're very dangerous to the gates of hell. The Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail. His church is glorious, magnificent, powerful. When Jesus died, He didn't secure for you such a weak redemption that you're going to be a struggling, weak-kneed, namby-pamby, gutless believer, but you're a world changer. When the Christians came to town, they said they're turning the world upside down. Because the influence of God in your life and through your life is world changing. I was in a church in Africa, and they've got this incredible name. They're called World Shakers, and they're in a little village of a couple of thousand people, and they've got this outrageous name, World Shakers. But I'm telling you, that little church is packed, about 700 members, in a small community. Powerful people. They are world shakers. This church is a world shaking church. The devil would love to silence you. Would love you to back away from laying hands on the sick. Would love you to give up praying mountain-moving prayers, to become intimidated by your circumstances and the environment. But the greater one lives in you.
Amen.
Greater is He that is in you. But there is a battle raging against your faith. And I want to speak about faith a little bit, because it's such an important subject. We are saved by faith. The grace of God through faith. Not of our works, it's our faith. We are justified by faith. The Bible says the prayer of faith will heal the sick. Not just prayer. It's the prayer of faith that heals the sick. Not just prayer, the prayer of faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. So without faith, you can't please God. But with faith, He is pleased. Faith pleases God. But there's an attack not against just your faith, but even against the faith teaching. One of the most critical messages that the church could ever have today is the teaching of faith. And the Bible is full of teaching of faith. The Bible says we're to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. The Bible says that we are with the prayer of faith, we can move mountains. And James, who prayed in faith, changed the climate. The prayer of faith will change the climate. We've just had our elections, and people are very hopeful that the political climate and the reputation of this nation will change. But I'm telling you, the White House does not determine this nation's destiny, but God's house. A vote on a ballot may affect some aspects of this nation, but the church and our prayers and our faith and our message is more powerful than the White House.
Amen.
This may sound arrogant, but I'm telling you now, to be called the president of a nation is a great honor, but to be called a man or a woman or a child of God is the highest honor possible. When we ordained these people into the office today, I'm telling you, that may not have the balloons and the fireworks and the band and but I'm telling you, this is a very holy thing that took place, a very powerful thing that took place today. When a president signs a decree, he will affect 4 years, 8 years, but how many of you know that's going to be subject to change? But a man or a woman of God, the least of us, we can influence someone's eternity. They may influence 4 years or 8 years, and maybe even a span of history, but one thing in our lives can affect someone's eternity. Amen. Talk about power.
Yes.
Someone's heaven or hell is based on our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You are born again because the Word came to you, and the faith of God, from faith to faith, the faith of God came into your life, impregnated your life, the seed of God, and it produced, just like a baby is born in the womb of a mother, you were born of God through that sperm of God's Word. Hope that doesn't freak you out, that language. But you understand that's what it means. The incorruptible Word of God. You're born of God. You're not just adopted into the family of God. You are born of God. Through this Word, and the faith of God was given to you that you could lay hold of the Word and you were born again. It wasn't just a decision of your mind, but it was from a believing heart, and that faith came as a gift from God. Hallelujah. And then you to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God, or you to grow in faith. The devil would love that you get weak in faith. Sometimes we start strong and then things go wrong. And then our faith is weakened. You see that with Peter, he steps out of the boat and he walks by faith on water. But then the circumstances get to him. And though he had strong faith, he's rebuked for little faith. I would love to walk on water. And I've stepped out many times out of the boat of my situation into the realm of faith. And you walk where you never thought you would walk. And you do what you thought you would never do. And you watch God working in impossible situations and turning around. But there's always challenges that if you get your eyes off Jesus, who called you to step out on those waves and the wind and the circumstances, you start to sink. Which tells me there's a risk that we can start quite strong and end weak. Sometimes you pray for a relative, a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, and they die. And so you're intimidated to pray again for someone who's sick. I did what I called healing schools. I'd go into a church for a week or two and just preach divine healing and miracles. And then we would watch God start to manifest His power. But then I would see one or two not healed. I forget about the ones who are healed, and I see the ones who aren't healed. And I get my eyes on the ones who aren't healed, and I don't know what's going on in their life. But it threw my faith, and eventually I want to do these schools anymore because of what wasn't happening, but I lost sight of what was happening. One day I was in Illinois. People say miracles take place in Africa or India. I was in Illinois, and this woman stepped forward, and her sight had diminished to just a little thing, and the doctor said, "Look at your kid's face, because in a short while you'll not see their faces again." Her driving license had already been removed and she couldn't see, and she stepped forward, and I was looking at what wasn't being done, and I lost my confidence. But suddenly the Word of God rose in my heart, the confidence of God, the faith of God. And I grabbed the Bible. I said, "Put this Bible in your hand," and I said, "Read in Jesus' name." And her eyes were instantly opened and she began to read. Today she's driving, her license is restored, she gazes on her children. But the truth is, I had to stir myself in my faith again. So because you're in faith today, doesn't mean you're in faith tomorrow. You've got to guard your faith. There's a battle raging for your faith. It's called the good fight of faith. Why is it good? Because Jesus won. But for His victory to be enforced in your life, you've got to lay hold of that Word and make it yours. Faith comes by hearing, but unbelief comes by hearing. Doubt comes by hearing, and fear comes by hearing. You have to rise up in faith. Bible student wrote to me a short while ago and said that I was preaching heresy because I quoted Kenneth Copeland in my book called Principles of Faith. Now, the truth is, if you take any person in a period of, and Kenneth's been in ministry longer than me, probably 50 years already, if you take anyone in a 50-year span and you take something they said out of the context of where they were saying, it could sound wrong. But I know his ministry. I know what he's done for the kingdom of God. When I was a young preacher, his ministry, that book that you teach called Discovery, was financed by Kenneth Copeland Ministries. When I was doing crusades and there was an evangelist that I was working with, and we would reach maybe 10, 15, 20,000 people in a meeting, but they weren't getting into the church. And Kenneth Copeland Ministry said, we want to see not only souls saved, but we want to see the church grow. And so they called me to come and to create materials that we could stay after the crusade and teach people, so that the church would grow. And instead of seeing a 2% retention rate, we started to see 200% retention rate, where churches would grow 200%. Now that's growth. And it was that book, and that was financed by Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We published hundreds and hundreds of thousands of copies of that book years ago, 35 years ago. So I know his life. But people, this student wrote to me, and I sponsored her. She couldn't even afford to come into my Bible school. I sponsored her. And she wrote to me, she said, you're promoting heresy. So I said to her, I quote John MacArthur, but it doesn't mean that I rubber stamp everything John MacArthur has ever written or said. I don't agree with him when it comes to the realms of the Holy Spirit. I agree with him on a lot, but there are some areas I don't agree with him. And I said to him, in fact, I don't even agree with everything I've ever said or written. There are some things I'd love to take back and rephrase. You understand? I'm sure you found the same. You know, you start preaching and you dig yourself a hole you can't get out of. I'd love to rephrase a whole lot of stuff. I said to her, what I would do if I were you is I'd get every book he's ever written, and I would read it, I would study it, I'd get every CD, I would watch every video, and I would try and get it, because he preaches the message of faith, and what you need is faith, because her health is messed up, she's sick, diseased, her marriage is in ruins, her kids are rebellious and have no relationship with her. She's poverty stricken. She couldn't even afford a Bible program. But yet she criticizes a man who preaches faith. But the thing is that she represents a lot of people in the church today that are criticizing what they don't know. What this church of the United States needs is the message of faith. And bold faith and strong faith, because it's through faith that we will change our nation. It is through faith that we will see the miracles take place. It is through faith that people will be delivered from the stronghold of the devil. But for us to carry the power and the word of God, we've got to operate in the dimensions of faith. I said, please, don't criticize what you don't know. Rather lay hold of it, study it, and then watch it work. One man came up to me and said, Leon, are you one of those hyper-faith preachers? I wanted to say no, but I found myself saying, yes, I am. If you mean hyper being big, strong, great, I want to have great faith. Great faith impresses Jesus. Such great faith I haven't seen in all of Israel. Israel was meant to represent the children of Abraham, the children of faith. But they had got to a place of operating in unbelief. But a Roman centurion that said, don't even come into my house, just speak a word. Great faith pleases Jesus. Today, in closing, I want to challenge you to challenge yourself concerning your faith. And here's the predicament I found in America. And I've traveled significantly through this nation this year. And I've been running. Tonight, you really must come back. I'm going to share a word that I think is life transforming. I'm going to teach on the twins of faith and honor. When you put faith in an environment of honor, you have miracles. I'm going to show you that where you have unbelief, there is dishonor and no miracles. It's going to be a powerful message. Someone said to me, and I'm going to come back to where I was going. Someone said to me, the Bible says that call on the elders of the church and they'll pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. God's word doesn't work, because I went to the elders and it didn't work. But God gave me revelation. And I said, you don't even respect those people that you went to. You've been bad-mouthing them. And then when you need a miracle, you go to them, lay hands on me. I said, just going to them isn't what's required. It's the honor for the call of God upon their lives. And now I'm going to get brutal. You've got to come tonight. I'm telling you, it's going to change your life. But there's so much dishonor in the household of God. Big picture. I'm not talking specific yet. Big picture. So many broken relationships. The Bible says, honor one another. People dishonor one another. Honor those who watch out over you. There's not that submission of heart that is required of the Word of God. And we're wondering why we're not seeing the release of miracles. Jesus couldn't work miracles in his hometown because they dishonored him. Tonight's message is critical. But I want to close with this. I have found people have been facing faith, what I call failures. You prayed a prayer and it seemed unanswered. You laid hands and the person wasn't healed. And because of that, many of you have backed away from faith. When you were first saved, you used to pray and believe God. Now you don't even pray anymore. You just trust yourself. You trust the government more than the Word of God. You think they've got the solution for your prosperity, and the decisions they make are going to alter the well-being of your life. And many Christians are no longer operating in faith. The Bible says that you prophesy according to your faith. You used to prophesy. You don't prophesy anymore. Your prayer of faith will heal the sick. You used to lay hands on the sick. You've backed away from it. You used to share the gospel, but now you don't. You've become silenced. The attack has got to you. And today you need to be restored and revived in your faith. I want to pray for you. Would you please stand with me? Jesus said, will I find faith when I returned? May He find faith in your heart. Not just little faith, but great faith. If you're going to have faith, you might as well go for great faith. I made this year my challenge as Leon. I want you, this was Leon to Leon, I want you to have great faith. I want you to make some decisions that are outrageous. I want you to take the loaves and the fish and feed the multitudes. I put challenges on myself to stretch myself in my faith, because I found that I was starting to limit myself to my budget. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We got to give according to our measure of faith. We got to prophesy according to our measure of faith. Well, I found my faith shrinking because I was looking at what wasn't happening rather than who promised. So I started to stir myself in my most holy faith. I'm not just preaching to you. I'm challenged myself. But I made this the year of great faith for Leon. How many of you have been intimidated in your faith and today you want to be stirred and revived in faith? Anyone out there? Time to take some steps out of the boat of our comfort. Listen, it's not that comfortable in a wet, sinking boat anyway. You might as well step out, get to where Jesus is at. Some of you haven't stepped out. God's been speaking to you and told you to do certain things, but you've not had the faith to step out. Who's that? God's been speaking to you, telling you to do things, and yet you've not stepped out because you've been looking at what's in your wallet. How many of you have heard that on TV? What's in your wallet? You've been looking at what's in your wallet rather than what's in the wallet of God. When you bought that property, you didn't look what's in your wallet. You looked at what's in God's wallet. Some of you, God's told to do things, and you looked at what's in your wallet, not what's in His. But today, God wants to touch you and increase your faith. Raise your hands, those who need prayer. The release, the gift of faith, the gift of faith, the faith of God to override your faith or faithlessness so that some steps of faith can be taken in your life. Lord God, these men and women raising hands who have faced prayers unanswered, mountains unmoved, circumstances unchanged, and they've doubted You and they've doubted Your goodness. But God, I want to declare and prophesy over them that You are good and You are great and Your mercy endures forever. And You're not a man that You should lie, but You are faithful and You are true. You are not only faithful and true, You are the author and the finisher of our faith. And yes, Lord, You will find faith when You return. This will be a church filled with people of faith, the household of faith, not just a believing system, but people with hearts that burn and yearn with faith to believe for miracles, healings, and breakthroughs and change. And God, would You touch the leadership of this house, and would You touch the membership of this house, and would You revive faith, oh God, in the hearts that have been overwhelmed by circumstances. Heal lives, heal bodies, heal marriages, heal finances, heal businesses, oh God. Your name is great and greatly to be praised. You are God. You are King. You are ruler. You are the King of kings, the Lord of lords. You are greater than all the attacks of the enemy. You are the victorious one, and You have made us more than conquerors, overcomers, not the defeated, but the victorious. And so I speak Your blessing over Your people in the name of Jesus. Amen.